In this episode, you will discover how being an optimist is ruining your chances of podcasting success.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, my name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in this episode, you'll discover the behavioral science behind why most podcasters stay stuck in low download limbo despite having great content.
How adopting strategic pessimism can rewire your mindset to identify risk early, spot blind spots, and take focused, bold action towards progress.
And finally, a simple framework to finally treat your podcast like a high-leverage growth asset instead of a creative side project.
Welcome back to another Thursday episode, where we share with you stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to grow and monetize your podcast way faster.
Look, if you are the kind of person who has always said, I believe it's all going to come together, I'm sure the right people eventually find my podcast. This episode might cut very deep. It probably will cut very deep, because the hard truth is, like the title says, being an optimist is costing you growth. You're essentially stuck in the loop of hopeful thinking, telling yourself that if you keep showing up, if you keep putting out value, eventually the results will follow.
If you've ever thought, maybe I'm an optimist at heart, or justified the stagnation by saying, if I have the message, people will find it, this is your wake-up call. If despite being an optimist, nothing is changing, the downloads are flat, your audience isn't growing, and you don't really feel like you have a proper strategy. This episode is for you, the podcaster who believes in themselves, but deep down, is scared to confront the possibility that belief alone is not enough.
Let's break it down. You've been putting out content consistently and you have an amazing conversation, sharing values, posting clips, staying active. But every week, the story is the same. And look, when you look back at the beginning of your podcast, you probably thought if you just started, had a good message and stayed consistent, your show would grow.
And you might feel like you're doing a lot, but the results you're getting don't reflect your hard work.
People keep telling you how impactful your podcast is, but it's not translating and you don't understand why.
Now, at this point, most podcasters quit. They call it a day and they pull the plug because it doesn't feel like the show is going anywhere or life gets too busy. But for you, even though you've been at it for years, the idea of pulling the plug feels painful. It would feel like a waste, not to mention the fact you don't see yourself as a quitter, right? You know you have a strong message and the show is good, because when you do it, you actually have tons of fun, and from the people that do hear it, you get great feedback. But it's just the reach part you can't seem to figure out. And if that's you, you might keep thinking or saying things like, I'm sure it'll all work out. I just need to keep going. Takes time, right? And if others can do it, why can't I?
But here's what you're really experiencing. You've been podcasting for years, tons of episodes under your belt, but you're still only getting 50 downloads per episode.
There's an illusion that your podcast is bigger than it actually is, with the guests who want to come on your show and how it looks on the outside. But again, the downloads do not reflect that at all, and you might even be subconsciously scared that someone will find your real numbers.
You might be on the verge of pulling the plug because investing into the show without seeing an ROI, meaning meaningful growth, is really starting to make you question whether or not this is all a giant waste of time. But you stay positive and optimistic about the future of your show. And that right there is what's screwing up so many podcasters and potentially screwing up your chances of finally having true breakthrough from your show. Now you might be thinking, what the hell are we talking about? How can being optimistic ever be a bad thing? You're a positive person after all. But look, that's exactly what we're about to break down, because as you soon find, this is a big blind spot for so many podcasters, and it's costing you way more than what you think. So Tyke, what exactly does it mean to be an optimist?
Well, an optimist is someone who tends to see the bright side of things. They expect positive outcomes and believe that everything will work out at the end. It's the glass half full mentality. Whereas to be a pessimist, on the other hand, would be seeing the worst aspect of things, expecting negative outcomes and preparing for things to go wrong, which in turn is the glass half empty mentality.
Now let's be clear, optimism has probably served you very well in many areas. It's kept you going when other people have quit.
It helped you start the podcast in the first place when others just talked about it.
It gave you the resilience through the tough early episodes when no one was listening.
It helps you maintain enthusiasm and energy when you're podcasting.
And it allows you to show up authentically and share your message with passion.
But what happens when this optimist mindset goes too far? What can it become?
Well, it becomes what we call toxic optimism.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, toxic optimism, I know, right?
Well, don't say that.
Toxic optimism is when positive thinking becomes essentially a shield against necessary action. It's optimism without accountability, hope without strategy, and faith without work. Simply put, it's using positivity as an excuse to avoid the hard work of actually taking the actions needed to grow a show.
Now, we've probably all come across the kind of meme extreme spirituality-based entrepreneur who believes they can manifest and affirm their way to becoming a millionaire without taking any concrete business actions. Now, that's not to say me and Anthony don't believe in any of that stuff. Again, I'm saying there are people that take this to very extreme lengths, who might vision board, meditate on abundance, repeat affirmations, but they might never invest in marketing when they need it or never hire help and never really prioritize the actions they need to do the most because they're so convinced the universe will provide that they forget the universe rewards action above all else.
Now for us, me and Tig, I think we had a similar reality check. You know, we used to be dangerously optimistic about our business. We had this incredible month where we nearly hit $100,000 in revenue. The exact number was $97,000 to be exact in a single month. And for us, we were riding high in positivity. We were convinced that we had crossed some invisible threshold and we thought that momentum alone would carry us forward, that the business would just on its own keep growing and scaling because, well, we've proven we could do it once. Now, for a lot of podcasters, that might sound familiar where you first initially launch a show and you had this initial growth. This is exactly what happens with that organic growth mindset in podcasting. Just like we believed our business would continue growing and growing and growing on its own, after one successful month, so many podcasters, and we see this day in and day out, believe that they're essentially going to hit this magical tipping point that if they just keep putting out more content without a clear strategy, the show, just by time and consistency, will eventually take off. Now, we made this wrong assumption, and our business, after that record month, actually came crashing down. But why did this happen? Well, it happened because we didn't take actions needed to maintain that new level of success. We didn't systematize what worked. We didn't invest in the team that we needed. We didn't create the proper infrastructure for scale. Just as we discussed in the organic growth episode, real growth is never passive, and we were learning this the hard way. Real growth is only a response when specific inputs, meaning actions, are actually working together. But for us, like I mentioned, we just hoped things would work themselves out. But of course it didn't. We were essentially being entitled. And for so many podcasters, they believe that their show will grow naturally if they just keep publishing good content. Again, optimism without action is just delayed disappointment.
Let's look at this through lenses that we know to be true, through first principles. So, for example, something we know to be true is that reality operates on cause and effect, right? And so this is relevant because we know that no amount of positive thinking changes the fundamental law that results come from actions, not intentions.
Another thing that we know is that time is a depleting resource. Every single month that you spend in hopeful waiting mode is a month you can't get back. Optimism makes you feel like you have an infinite amount of time when you actually don't.
Another one is that markets reward value delivery at scale. So the podcast might be amazing, but if only 50 people know about it, the market can't reward you at scale. And so optimism tells you they'll find you eventually, but math says they won't without distribution.
And finally, feedback loops require inputs. You can't optimize your podcast if you're not actively experimenting with your podcast. Toxic optimism keeps you in the same loop, essentially doing the same actions on autopilot, expecting massive drastic results and shifts when you haven't made massive drastic results in your change of inputs. Now, to clarify, what exactly is a feedback loop, Tig?
Well, a feedback loop is a system where outputs of your actions become inputs that inform your next actions, like a loop. If you literally visualize a loop or a cycle, so an action then leads to a result, which then leads to learning based on what we can learn about the result, which leads to adjusted action, which leads us to a better result. And you could keep going, right? Which then leads us to better learning. And you just keep going around the cycle. And so feedback loops only work if you do something that generates data. You can't just get better by thinking about it. You can hypothesize or imagine what might do better, but you don't know until you actually go and take the action. So if we look at this from a podcasting perspective, without the action, without kind of seeing this feedback loop through, you might end up posting episode 50 the same way you posted episode 1. And let's just say you get 100 downloads, and you always get 100 downloads. You learn nothing new, and episode 51 still looks exactly like episode 50. And you're in a loop, but it's just the same loop. It's not a loop that is improving and iterating over time. So it's not a feedback loop, it's just a loop.
Whereas with active experimentation, feedback loop, episode 50, you essentially try a new hook format. You then look at the results and realize, holy crap, you know, that episode performed super well. We had a 50% increase. We had a total of 150 downloads. Now, the learning from this is that hook style performs better. So then when it comes to episode 51, you then have a new hook that you're using, and then you test that with a different episode length. Maybe you were doing long episodes and you make them shorter. And the results are you get 170 downloads for the episodes. And once again, you have this moment where you realize, holy crap, when we combine really solid hooks that work and shorter episodes, they tend to perform way better compared to no hooks and longer episodes. And this cycle continues. You start figuring out what truly works and drive results. Based off those results, you then make a new hypothesis, and your actions when it comes to trying to grow the podcast improves dramatically. You're able to pinpoint the exact actions that actually drive meaningful growth for your podcast. Now, here's how toxic optimism breaks this feedback loop. When you're toxically optimistic, you think that my content is great and people eventually find it. This mindset prevents you from testing different approaches because, well, why change if it'll all work out eventually? So you don't test a new format, you don't test different angles and experiment with it, and you don't test different promotional strategies to see if they actually work.
It also prevents you from measuring what works. So yes, you're not going to test different things, but you also won't check the things that you do have or that you can look at. So for example, you might not check analytics because you trust the process, which means that you miss data on best performing episodes and you miss actually finding out where your listeners came from.
And then finally, when it comes to data-driven decisions, which is something that so many podcasters struggle with, you know, we kind of get into this mindset of, you know, I'll just keep doing what feels right. But again, there's no systematic improvement on what you've been doing over the last month or year. You're not really killing what doesn't work, and you don't really know what to double down on based on what does work. You're just doing what you've always done, hoping that magically something will eventually change.
Which, if you remember, I'm sure you've heard it before, we've definitely heard it before, is essentially what Einstein defined as insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Toxic optimism creates this very, very pattern because you're in the same loop, like posting episodes the same way, but expecting sudden growth, i.e. different results. And the core issue here is being overly optimistic because it means you end up using hope, positivity, and optimism as a substitute for a real strategy for growth and deep, meaningful change.
Toxic optimism convinces you that taking action is unnecessary right now. That maybe, just maybe, if you wait long enough, the momentum will show up on its own. Similar to what me and Tyke felt when we had our business's month record, which was $97,000 in a single month. But beneath that hope is really the fear of investing and things not working out, the fear of admitting that what you've been doing isn't that effective. The fear that just maybe the content isn't as good as what you probably think.
So you tell yourself, it's okay that the show isn't bigger. After all, you're having to balance so many things and you don't have the time to focus on growth. Or you've stayed stuck in research mode for months and keep telling yourself you need to go back to the drawing board, which either doesn't happen or doesn't lead to the deep change that you wanted. And even though you love the idea of having a fast-growing podcast that is making $5,000, $10,000 a month, whether that's through sponsors or through clients or through feeding your business, you just call it a passion project, which acts as an emotional shield to avoid accountability and the pain of accepting that the podcast is more than just that.
So you never seek out for guidance. You never invest in a mentor or the help you need, who you know you again desperately want and desperately need, because you don't make decisions fast. You want to see how things play out on their own. Maybe if you just keep publishing new episodes, things will start to move in the right direction.
The content is good, so eventually the podcast will just take off if you keep at it, right? But the question is, how long have you been saying that? And how long will you keep being so positive about the outcome of the show before you realize you've been saying this for years now and still things haven't changed in a meaningful way?
Like we mentioned at the start of this episode, this really is a wake-up call if you found yourself in this spot. Now, to me and Tig, we want to be very transparent and we don't want to sugarcoat things that we see holding podcasters back. And if this is you in that spot, this really is your makeup call. Because while this is going on and you're in this kind of positivity, hopefully things will work out, you essentially aren't taking the actions you need, right? And in the meantime, while you're stuck in positive thinking, other podcasters are hiring the right team. They're getting the strategic help they need to grow. They're putting their money where their mouth is in order to drive more growth. They're moving way faster than you. And that isn't to try to say to compare, just saying like, hey, if you want to be successful, want to get out of the spot that you're in, the approach needs to change. But for most people, they stay stuck, waiting for that organic growth to suddenly happen and pay off after 200 plus episodes. And every month of this failed optimism is another month of no real growth. And this becomes so apparent when I speak to podcasters who are now exploring working with our team and they want to join the Get More Listens Academy, our podcast growth and monetization program for entrepreneurs and experts who want to grow to 5,000 to 10,000 monthly downloads and attract dream clients as well as monetization opportunities into their business. Anyways, I always ask them the exact same question. You've been doing this for 1, 2, 3 years, whatever that number is. You're clearly smart. You're clearly switched on. Why didn't you get help sooner?
Well, I didn't think I needed it. I thought if I just kept at it long enough, the show would have taken off.
Again, an optimist viewpoint. And then I ask, well, let's say you keep doing the podcast for another 3 years and you don't make it. What happens then?
Well, I can't see that happening. I just know we'll find a way. I'm optimistic like that.
I probe some more asking, no, seriously, what if all the hard work you've put into the show essentially comes to nothing? What if the show never grows? What if you never get as far as you'd hoped 3 years from now? With more time or energy invested into the show, what happens then?
And this is when most people get extremely uncomfortable, which is very understandable because look, who likes to look at the face of failure? It's not very positive, it's not very encouraging, and it's certainly not a place where the optimist mind tends to go. But it's a thought experiment that is very important to explore. So let's explore it. What happens if you keep doing your podcast and you make no meaningful progress in the next 3 years? Genuinely, this is a question for you listening right now. When you launched the show, how did you think it was going to go? Probably great, right? A big audience, a strong message being shared, and rightly so, right? If others can do it, then why can't you? And based on where you are today, are you as far as you thought you'd be a couple of years into the podcast?
For most podcasters, the answer is no. Now, did you think you would invest years into the show and still feel like you're not gaining traction? No. Did you think that things would have clicked by now and the show would have taken off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many years into the podcast? The likely answer is yes. So why didn't things go to plan? Why didn't you plan ahead in case you failed? You ask that to most people and they say, well, because I didn't think the show wouldn't grow. I couldn't see that being an outcome. And it's because you were positive. You were being optimistic about the future. And whilst that's cool, and again, it's a mindset that we all have. It's fair to say that this exact same mindset back then, you being super optimistic about the future, essentially prevented you from seeing things clearly around the possibility of the show not growing or monetizing at the rate you'd like. And because of this, you didn't get the guidance early because you thought things would just work themselves out. Now you're a couple years deep into the show and nowhere near as big as you'd like the show to be. If anything, you're feeling embarrassed about your current numbers because you feel like you should be ahead. But why do we keep bringing all of this up?
Well, we're doing this to show you how the optimist mind isn't an accurate view of reality. It's a positive one, for sure, but it's not accurate. And hopefully, understanding this can help reveal your blind spots and show you how the mind plays tricks on you. It plays tricks on us. It can create illusions to keep us safe and protected. But in doing so, it can blind you from seeing reality clearly. And if you can't see reality clearly because you're being overly optimistic, how can you make the most powerful, impactful, and informed decisions today? You can't.
And if you remember in episode 296, Invisible Problems Silently Killing Your Podcast Growth, we discussed how psychologist Jordan Peterson made a powerful insight. If you want to live a life greater than 99% of people, you need and have to think accurately. But, however, this is exactly what the optimist mindset prevents you from doing. Seeing reality accurately isn't about being negative. It's about being strategic. Look, the top 1% of podcasters don't just hope for growth. They build the right systems that guarantees growth. They look at their numbers objectively, invest in expertise when needed, and refuse to let wishful thinking replace actual growth strategy. As we've said before, you must see reality as it is and play by the rules of reality. That is how you win. And the uncomfortable reality is consistency, hard work, and time alone are not enough to grow your podcast despite you posting valuable content for years. That belief that your show will grow organically through these elements alone is fundamentally flawed and disconnected to how reality actually works.
Right. You can't just be away with the fairies all the time and not reflect on where you've messed up in the past, mistakes you've made, and lessons you've learned. You must have a balanced perspective because this is how we learn from past mistakes. And not so past mistakes, but this is how we make sure we don't repeat bad choices and repeat and essentially end up with the same outcomes. This is how you can start making better decisions for your future.
I think this is so important, Ty, because we're not saying here, hey, look how bad you are and how crap the spot you are in. No, we're basically saying, hey, if you have been doing this podcast for years and you're genuinely not happy because you don't feel like you've reached its full potential when it comes to the growth side of things, because you are having these incredible conversations. If that is the case, I'm not saying sit here and cry for the next 5 days that the show isn't growing or be sad about it. We're not here for that. We're here to help you grow your podcast. So you just having a pity party about the show isn't going to do that. Our encouragement is simply to look at the data, look at your actions. What's got you to this point? Okay. If you repeat that for the next 6 months, what's the likelihood that things change in a big way? And if you don't like that future that you're currently on or the trajectory you're currently on, then something significant has to change. And we're hoping this episode is one of those that helps flip that switch.
So we want to make this practical as well. And I think a great way to do this is exploring the power of strategic pessimism. So Stoics in the past had a practice called premeditatio malorum. So the translation of this term means the premeditation of evils or negative visualization. And again, this originated back in the day from Stoics such as Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus, many philosophers. And this might sound a bit depressing or gloomy, but that's not the aim. Of course, that's not the aim. In fact, it's to be prepared and motivated. And so how it works is that the Stoics would deliberately imagine worst case scenarios. Like, what if I lose everything? Or what if my business fails? Or what if my podcast doesn't grow? I'm sure that's not what they were thinking back in the day. But they didn't do this to wallow, they did it to act. So after they did it to act, they would visualize failure not to be negative, but to be prepared, to take action now to prevent the failure.
So for you, what exactly does this mean? Well, there's a simple three-step process you can start taking today to kind of turn your optimism, to use pessimism as the change you need to actually start growing your podcast. And it starts with this: visualize the failure clearly. Don't try to avoid it. You know, what happens if your podcast dies 200 episodes in after 5 years of hard work because you couldn't figure out how to grow? What if you become another forgotten voice in the podcast graveyard? What if you eventually waste thousands of hours on this project that was super fun but never really fulfilled its true potential? That's step one, visualizing failure clearly. Now for you, that might be something different, but visualize that clearly. That's step one. What's step two, Tig?
Well, step two is accepting it as a possibility. So don't deny that what you just visualized could happen. Don't sugarcoat it with optimism. Sit with it and face the real possibility of failure.
And then finally, take immediate action to prevent it. If that's the future, what must you change today in order to change that future? What actions would make that future an impossible outcome? What would someone do who refuses to let that future happen? Then what you would do is simply start to act in alignment to avoid that future. So if you're someone who has been podcasting for 2+ years, the show isn't growing, you've listened to our podcast for a while, tried a bunch of different things, and for some reason it's still not clicking, well, what's the next step to make sure you still don't fail and carry on with this pattern? It'll probably just be getting mentorship, actually working with me and Tig one-on-one, joining our program, the Get More Listeners Academy, where you can get expert guidance on your nuanced situation. That would be you taking active action to make sure your future, when it comes to the podcast not growing as fast as you like, doesn't happen. So for the Stoics, they would visualize failure, again, not to be negative, but to be prepared, to take action now to prevent that failure. Just a simple pessimistic thought experiment of asking yourself these impactful questions: what if the podcast fails? What if it doesn't pick up traction? Asking this question is the starting point of your journey to change the trajectory of your entire show and your entire life.
Right. If the optimistic or toxically optimistic mindset has led you to be less proactive about growth and more hopeful, then being pessimistic would do the opposite. Being strategically pessimistic means that, you know, you'd strike the fine balance because you wouldn't just be all sad and like have the downside of pessimism. But strategically, it means you wouldn't rely on consistency alone. You'd be, I'm using extreme words here, but paranoid that things wouldn't work out. So you would do everything in your power to make sure things do work out.
So look, being strategically pessimistic means you wouldn't rely on consistency alone. You'd be paranoid that things wouldn't work out, so you'd do everything in your power to make sure they do work out. But what exactly does this look like? Well, if you listen to this podcast and you've been podcasting for years, but the show still isn't growing, being a pessimist would essentially get you to the point of, okay, being strategically pessimistic will get you to the point where you're like, hey, I need the podcast coach. I need to work with Anthony Tig directly in order to get that guidance so I don't waste the next 6 months or a year on guesswork. You need to follow a real strategy. You wouldn't be scared to invest in the show's marketing because you understand by you not investing in the show's marketing, you're not going to do everything you can to prevent that failure. And every 3 months that goes by of you not gaining more traction, you'd essentially be in panic mode. You wouldn't just be okay coasting, not making progress, because you'd catastrophize the situation. You'd think to yourself, well, if this keeps going, the podcast is going to die. So you would experiment, you'd find new ways of figuring out what's working and what's not. You start to notice way more red flags that up until this point you've been okay with because you've been this optimistic person. So in a funny way, by you being more strategically pessimist, you end up taking more decisive action towards your goals. You end up getting the support from an expert team who you can use to guarantee you don't again fail with your podcast growth. You eventually have way more impact, a bigger show, and a podcast that monetizes way faster. That's the power of strategic pessimism. So look, if you have been stuck in this loop of being super hopeful and believing that the show is just going to grow, but you're kind of just sick and tired of repeating the same old patterns, taking the same old actions, getting the same old results, and you really feel like you haven't tapped into the full potential of the show. If you know there's so much more to give, so much more people to reach, but you're unsure about what steps to take, that's exactly why we created the Get More Listeners Academy. This is mine and Tyke's personalized growth and monetization program for podcasters who want to stop wishful growth and thinking and start engineering it using proven systems for growth. So if you are interested in that, we would love the opportunity to help you grow. You can simply go to getmorelisteners.com. You can go to the show notes in our description, click the first link that you see, or go to getmorelisteners.com/growmypodcast. Book in a free strategy session and we'll look at exactly what's been holding you back, what's been keeping you stuck from faster growth, and help you finally turn the show around and take your podcast to that next level. So that being said, we'll catch you in the next episode.